Hello and welcome to the Vancouver Tech Podcast. My name is James.
And I'm Drew.
How are you, Drew?
I'm doing great. Thanks, James. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
How was your week?
Pretty great, although I didn't go on any meetups, but maybe this week.
You know, sometimes when you're online and you come across somebody, maybe a prolific developer,
yeah,
or somebody who blogs a lot or a writer, and you start reading and you really kind of click, things just kind of click, and you kind of fall in love with programming all over again.
Sure.
So I had one of those experiences yesterday. So I wanted to say thanks to Mike Lee for turning me on to the Bike Shed podcast. So I was listening to that, and I remember a couple of years ago, I saw this talk, and it was a Ruby guy talking about Rails and about development and how everyone's on a Mac. And he'd kind of made the change. He was using, an X1 Carbon.
Oh, yeah.
And he's had Arch Linux on it.
Nice.
And so he was kind of talking about that and, like, encrypting everything and why it might be important, and then showing also, like, how it's pretty easy to make the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, this is a really well-presented talk. This guy knows what he's talking about and has some good ideas. But I couldn't think of his name.
Right.
And I kind of tried to find it, like, that dude that switched to Linux.
The Arch Linux switch.
Yeah.
OS 10 switcher.
Yeah, and I couldn't find it. And a couple of years went by. So I was listening to this podcast, and guess who's on it? This guy talking about some cool stuff. I look him up, and it's the same guy.
Was he a guest or a host? Because there's three hosts,
right? It was a guest.
Right?
So Steve Klabnik. He was a core contributor to Rails. He's now a full-time, I think, tech writer for Rust.
Oh, okay.
And it's really nice. He's got some really great ideas, I think, about documentation, about writing, about code, and about sharing, learning, things like that. So one thing that he came up with, which I think is awesome, and it's my pet project this weekend, is reading through it, is Intermezos.
Oh.
And
okay.
So what it is when he first started getting into software development, he was looking at a lot of lower level stuff, C and kind of kernel programming, systems programming.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, it's not that that stuff's really that hard. It's that a lot of the people in that scene are just jerks.
Yeah. So
they're like, right. They have the mentality of, oh, it was hard for me to learn it, so now you struggle.
Oh, I
you
see.
Know, screw off and
sort
learn
of fight,
it yourself.
Fend for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's taking a different approach, and he's writing a book that's available online. Not the Rust Lang book, but the Intermezos.
Okay.
And so basically, it's so far it's building out a kernel.
Wow.
Just developing an operating system in Rust.
Wow. Okay. So he's actually talking about taking it from nothing to the actual.
Exactly.
Wow.
And I think
that's a big deal.
So far it's got the, boot up and have some IO, and that's
cool.
About it.
So do you run that in like a VM, or how does that work? Or?
I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be running that, but I guess you could probably just install it on some hardware.
I should just check it out for myself. Actually, I was going to say something to you. I tweeted something the other day. I shared a little snippet of code.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a lot of times when you upload a file, you might want to check if there's conflicting file names just so you don't overwrite the same file. So a lot of people just throw a timestamp on it and call it a day.
Right.
But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to have like an incrementing counter.
Mm-hmm.
So I made this little script that just said, hey, grab all the files that are here that match this name and then just count them and add one and then spit it out. And so I did that. I made this little snippet, and I've used it a couple of times now just for I always do Ajax uploads with single handlers, like one at a time. And so I got this tweet back saying like, hey, you've got a race condition. I was like, okay, yeah, actually, I do have a race condition, because if two people upload the same file at the same time, the count could be wrong and then you'd end up with a conflicting count.
Right.
So... And the guy said, this will happen when you have multiple users concurrently uploading files. I was like, yeah, that's true. But at the same time, like, that's kind of beyond the scope of a 3-line snippet, you know? I was wondering if you had any idea of what if I should just change the code or even add a line saying, hey, don't use this for simultaneous concurrent uploads with, you know, multiple users.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same scenario, it's like, that's such a, I mean, it, I'd probably get chastised for this, but that's such a small case that two users are uploading the same file, the same name at the same time.
Is it though?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering.
So I guess it really depends on the type of files that you're going to be handling.
Yeah.
If you have, I've seen a lot of files where they will consistently have the same name. Are you both uploading an index.html at the same time?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, that's a case that definitely could happen, right?
Yeah. But at the same time, same moment, I was like, oh, should I handle this race condition or may even make it obvious in my snippet? But I was kind of like, I'll just leave it out. It's a three-line snippet.
Yeah. I think maybe something to consider if you actually hit that problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Let's dive into this week's events.
All right. Sounds good.
Meetups
around town.
All right. So first things first, Monday. Did you find anything for Monday? Because I didn't.
So Monday is a day that I will be arriving in Japan.
Oh, yeah. So you're going away next week.
I'm going away for the week. It's going to be pretty interesting, I think. I've got a big trip lined up, and so I won't be around.
Yeah, so just be my own lonesome butt to the.
That's right. I won't actually be here for next week's podcast, but we'll have a special guest host.
Yeah, that's going to be a surprise coming up. So yeah, that's cool. But yeah, Open Coffee, if you've ever been to Startup Drinks before, this is sort of like Startup Drinks, but in the morning. It's a super casual event. Hang out, have some coffee, 8 a.m. at Nelson the Seagull. Just check it out if you're not really one of those drinking types, or maybe you just can't make it out super late.
Or if you like coffee.
Yeah, if you like coffee too, you can get there and start chatting.
Maybe socializing with people.
Absolutely.
So I've heard some good things about that, actually. What kind of stuff normally happens there?
Well, I've only been to one, but I chatted with a bunch of different people about I talked to a bunch of people about PHP, and there was a guy there from San Francisco who was visiting like his family for the weekend or something, so he was just checking it out because he had the time.
Nice.
So it was really cool. A lot of different people there that you might not normally see that are super busy during the day or at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a cool little thing, and it was really relaxed. There was only a few people there, which is nice because I basically talked to everyone there, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool too.
That was what it was like when I went to Startup Drinks as well.
Yeah.
I got to talk to everyone, and they said, you know, people kind of came in waves.
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting too.
Yeah. Cool. Let's talk about February Full Indie.
So this is something I think is going to be really fun. I don't know if it's super interesting for everybody to go to, but if you like games and you like beer and you want to go to the pint, then it'll be an awesome place to see.
So this is like a demo night.
Yeah. So they had one of these before, the game combo game mashup, about a year, 2 years ago. Wow. A while ago. And it was awesome. So the pint, if you don't know, it has a basement that you can rent out for events and things like that. And last time we were there, there were about 12 or 14 local game companies kind of demoing games that they've developed. So you had a chance to actually play them, talk to the developers, and maybe find bugs or things like that before these things even got released.
Oh, so this is even just that they got to test them out and play with them before they got to went out publicly.
Yeah, so it's going to be, I think, the same kind of thing. They're going to be highlighting some of the games that are that have been developed recently. So if you're interested in that, go check it out. I'm going to make an effort to be there because I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. The Lighthouse Labs Employer
Speed. I'm not going to make an effort to be there because I'll be in Japan.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll phone you every day for all of these events and tell you exactly what happened.
Thank you.
But yeah, let's jump to the Lighthouse Labs Employer Speed Dating.
Yeah, that looks like it should be fun as well if you're an employer looking to hire a grad.
Yeah, these are the first grads of 2016, and they're both from the web and iOS courses. So if you're into that stuff or you're looking for those kind of people, you should definitely check it out.
That's pretty interesting. I've heard that iOS developers are currently one of the highest paid developer.
Yeah, it's like 10 to 15% higher than most engineers or something.
That's pretty interesting. Why do you think that is?
I think it's just probably the market. I don't think there's as many iOS developers. I know two out of all the developers I know. I don't know how many you know. I mean, working at Mogo, how many do you have there?
We have three.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many web engineers do you have?
I guess it depends on what you classify as a web engineer.
So I think if there's just scarcity meets demand, you know, that's the price, man.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Cool. That's at Lighthouse Labs, which is 128 West Hastings, number 350.
Now yeah, so that's 5:30. Upstairs, 5:30 to 7:30.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
Nice.
Cool. And then Code and Coffee, one of my favorite events, is coming up.
Code and Coffee. So that's on Thursday, February 18th, from 6:30 to 8:30. What's the deal with Code and Coffee? I know you've been there. You've met some really interesting people. We actually had some guests who presented at it as well.
Yeah, I actually presented too.
Oh, wow.
I did a Chrome apps and extensions talk, which is kind of cool. And I did a little class after. So what really happens is, it's sort of a two-parter, or it's sort of a split event.
Mm-hmm.
You can have one side of presentations, like the room is literally split in half.
Mm-hmm.
One side of the room is presentations or an ongoing little lesson.
Yep.
And the other half is actually like a socializing event. So it's really the best of both worlds. If you're into listening to speakers, cool, give that a shot. If you're into just socializing or you're not really that interested in the topic or whatever, you can just jump to the other side of the room and do whatever you want. You know, they have wine and coffee there, and it's pretty great.
That does sound pretty interesting. Is it the type of event that people bring their laptops to and hack on something?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pretty much everyone there or at some point either has their computer out or is like together on a computer talking about a problem or whatever, which is pretty cool. The two speakers this week are Dan Rice, and that his presentation is called What Developers Can Teach the World. And then Brett Crowe is talking about operating your own switchboard with Twilio.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. What Developers Can Teach the World.
Yeah.
What do you think that's going to be about?
It's probably about how to troll, how to argue about languages.
How to reject pull requests.
Yeah, how to reject pull requests, how to segment your community.
I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, there's a lot of talk about education and tech and code, programming in education.
Yeah.
And there's also some people who think, you know, it shouldn't be part of the regular curriculum, and some people who think it is. I've been thinking about this more and more recently, that every industry is kind of becoming a tech industry.
Yeah.
So much so that I feel like 15 years ago or maybe 20 years ago, typing would have been a skill that somebody might put on their resume.
Yeah.
You know, or I'm good at searching on the internet.
Yeah. I'm a great Googler. Yeah. I'm a great, what's the one? I use a Lyco search.
Or
Ask Jeeves is like, I'm a guru.
Whereas these days, you wouldn't even put that. Yeah. I can type. Of course you can type. That's a given.
Yeah.
Going forward, 10 years from now, is software development going to be a given?
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy. I didn't really think about it that way, but maybe. I mean, you know that you've probably heard that Mark Andreessen quote, software is eating the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like one of those things people keep hurrah, hurrah talking about. And it's definitely, we're seeing it all the time. It just happened to cars recently with Uber and stuff like that. And it happened to apartments with Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So it's going to happen at some point to somebody else. So
I think that's an interesting thing. Maybe this What Developers Can Teach the World will be about open collaboration and about continuously developing and improving things. And, you know, when you see something that doesn't make sense, actually make it make sense.
Yeah. Well, I always go to these, so I'll definitely talk about what happened.
Cool. And then we've got TechStarter's Mentor Night, and that's happening also at Lighthouse Labs. That's Thursday, February 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. Have you been to one of these Mentor Nights?
No, actually. I've been to a couple Lighthouse Labs things, and I went to that freelancer.com one, but Lighthouse Labs is a pretty sweet place, but I haven't had the opportunity to go to one of these mentor nights, but it actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it does sound pretty cool. So I think it's probably going to give a good sense of if you're a student looking at or interested in going to Lighthouse, then it might be a good chance to kind of go out there and get a feel for it. If you are a developer but maybe interested in mentoring, maybe a opportunity to TA, there'd probably be a good chance to go. And if you just want to talk to some of the up-and-coming developers in the community, might be a great place to check out.
And this one we found was the Bill Conference.
Yeah, so
B-I-L.
This is pretty interesting. Yesterday, I was over on Granville Island, and I was with a good friend of mine, Adam Dimitrik.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced me to a company over there that's doing some pretty cool stuff. It's really interesting. So I walk in, and there's all these screens on the wall with you know, Buffalo Bills logo. This, it just looked like a really cool, almost like a sports bar. Then they're like, hey, check it out. This is our product. And there's this this big vending machine with like speakers out of the side of it and screens to display ads. And then I look on the screen and it's a weed vending machine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Weed as in marijuana, not the obtrusive plant.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, this is pretty interesting. And so we talked a little bit about their product and seems really cool. So the crew there is it's really like an all-star crew.
Nice.
These are some people that you know, they're veterans in the Vancouver dev scene. They've worked at places like PayByPhone and anyway, looks like they're assembling a really cool team. They've got some kind of best practices in place, and I was pretty excited about it. Anyway, one of the guys mentioned, "Hey, are you going to the Bill Conference next week?"
Yeah,
and I was like, "Bill Conference?
Yeah.
Am I out of the loop here? What is that?"
Your first thing was no, because I'm away. But what is that?
Exactly. And so he kind of said, you know, it's kind of like TED Talks, but more of an open source, unconf kind of format.
Yeah.
You could just show up there and give a presentation, or they also do have some speakers. One that jumped out to me was Peter Voss. And I thought, Peter Voss, that name sounds really familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Googled it, and I saw an interview on the Singularity webcast. The Socrates guy, he does the interviews. I'm not sure if you've seen them.
No.
it's pretty cool. Anyway, so he's talking with this guy, Peter Voss, about AI. And it looks like this is kind of his area of expertise. And he's giving a talk. So it looks like it'll be a pretty interesting weekend of events, the one weekend that I'm away.
I did a little count, and there was actually 26 different talks over the, and this is over 3 days, or 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 19th, the 20th, and the 21st.
I'd count that as 3 days.
Yeah, sorry. I was right the first time before I corrected myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 3 days, February 19th, 20th, and 21st. And
I couldn't find anything about the times on the site. Also, a really interesting thing, you can register, I think it's with Eventbrite or Picatick, but it's free.
Yeah, you can actually donate if you'd like to, mm-hmm. but there's absolutely a free option.
And that's over at the Fox Cabaret. That's 2321 Main Street.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, that'll be pretty awesome.
And our last event, the Product Camp Vancouver.
So this is at the Robson Square UBC campus. Have you been there?
Yes, I have.
It's pretty cool,
pretty
isn't
sweet.
It? Yeah, you go underground and it's, wow, it's a lot bigger than I was expecting.
Yeah,
to
you notice that there's a skating rink there sometimes and you're like, what?
Yeah, well, having grown up in Vancouver, I spent many a days at that skating rink.
Nice.
But yeah, so Product Camp Vancouver, what is that all about?
So they sort of bill themselves as the premier event for product management, product marketing, and product marketing professionals. So at the face of it, I thought, maybe that fits with what we sort of generally talk about. But what I actually found was that they actually have the speaker has like a really sweet background. Mm-hmm. And the guy who's actually speaking is Karis O'Connell. And he's actually the CEO and co-founder of a company called Human. And they're actually really into the platforms, like these new platforms like wearables, IoT, and VR, so Internet of Things and virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually had a ton of experience at a bunch of big companies, Nokia, Samsung, Nike. He's also a mentor for another company here in Vancouver, and he's also a startup mentor for a wearable sort of conference in San Francisco. So he's actually a big deal.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. Definitely something to check out.
Yeah, so if you have a product or you want to hear someone talk about working on wearables or IoT or VR, that's a pretty cool thing to check out.
Okay, and it looks like that's our meetups for the week. All right, and we're here with special guest Kyle Trelevin of BrainStation. Thanks for being here, Kyle.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So why don't we start? Tell us a little bit about BrainStation and your involvement.
BrainStation started about 4 years ago in Toronto. It was a couple roommates. The founder, Jason Field, he was traveling abroad, ended up in Australia, started working for Lululemon. His work visa expired, so he went to New Zealand, helped launch a store there, and then wanted to come back to Toronto, his hometown. I didn't know this, but I guess Lululemon was franchised globally. And so coming back, he, I guess, had to start from the bottom, work his way back up. And he had a position in mind that he wanted to go after. And to do that, he needed some technical skills. And so as he was doing events and whatnot, he started talking to his roommates. And they saw at the same time some boot camps starting. And they decided to give it a try. They posted on Craigslist to see if there was any interest. And they immediately sold out.
Wow.
So that was kind of like a sign that something good was going to happen. So they took it from there. And Duncan, his partner in all this, actually came out and helped out and worked with Lighthouse for about a year. And then went back to Toronto and worked for BitMaker before actually going back to BrainStation with Jason. So it's neat to have him a part of that and sharing his experiences.
So Duncan came out to Vancouver and helped with Lighthouse start here a couple of years
ago? Yeah, I don't know what his role was entirely, but he was part of Lighthouse, and then he was part of BitMaker and back to BrainStation. And funny enough, he's actually now following his passion, sound engineer. Went back to school.
Wow, that's what I did.
No way.
I took a year. Yeah, that's why it sounds so good. Yeah, I did that for a year when I got into development instead.
Oh, yeah. So, and that's then cool. Last year, because these guys are doing such a great job, the Conrad Group, which is Human, Gordy, and Bill, they came in and decided that they really like BrainStation. And they acquired it, rebranded, relaunched it, put some legs on it, and decided to expand. So they went into Ottawa, Waterloo, Vancouver, New York, Costa Rica.
Wow.
It's all over the place. So let's talk a little bit about the Brain Station in Vancouver and your role in it.
Well, I'm the GM, so I guess I'm keeping the lights on for the most part.
Yeah.
But my role is constantly looking for educators and for people that are great candidates to be students. There's a lot of people in Vancouver looking for product management skills, digital marketing, UX, visual, or even just the basic front-end intro to web development, basic HTML, CSS.
So that's kind of interesting. BrainStation has a bit of a different offering from a lot of the other boot camps in that it doesn't seem to have a core focus on Ruby on Rails.
Yeah.
It actually offers some other interesting things.
Yeah, that's actually kind of... There's a funny story with Tam from CodeCore.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 years ago, myself, I was searching for... I want to, you know, add to my skill set. Mm-hmm. And I went to visit Tam at CodeCore and thought, you know what? Maybe I'm going to go and do this boot camp. And I sat down with him, learned all about it. And at the end of it, I realized... I don't know if I'm really want to be a Ruby developer at the end of the day for my career or for, you know, as a career path. And in that process, I was like, hey, well, it's not really for me, but, you know, it's pretty interesting what you have here. Like, I like this. I like the community and everything like that. And this summer when BrainStation came out, I went to their first open house and saw everything they're offering. And what drew my attention was their intro to iOS.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, like, you have an idea. Everyone has an idea for an app. We'll help you build it. And I was like, that's awesome. All right, I want to go check this company out.
Yeah.
They were hiring, and thankfully, I got to join and come on board. And so I still chat with Tam, so I always laugh. Like, you know, like, there's definitely some people that want to learn Ruby and that back-end type development, and some people that are just looking for the front-end.
Mm-hmm.
Such as myself. So it's a nice fit, I think, for Vancouver.
Where did you start when you first joined?
Where did I start?
Like, what position were you starting?
In BrainStation here?
Yeah.
General manager.
Oh, you started general manager.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So what kind of background sort of helps you in your general manager position?
I worked for a really awesome company called Sunbowl previously. I was the general manager there, and we were e-commerce specialists specializing in Shopify. And
okay,
so
yeah.
I really love that company as well. It was, you know, but at the same time, it was, we had a really great system and a really good flow, but we weren't evolving from that. It was just staying in the same thing. Mm. We knew how to deal with the same kind of clients, same kind of problems every single day. So I was looking for a new challenge and ready for change, but, still love the boys at Sunbowl. So if they're listening, you guys are great. And before that, I was working e-commerce as well for a company called Sitka out of Victoria.
So you're still at all these homegrown Canadian companies, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the biggest thing, I think, for me and where I got a lot of experience was I was actually part of the startup Snowboard.com from a long time ago, before even Facebook kind of really took off and then destroyed us. But that was also a really great experience. And we had all sorts of teams that were focused on niche communities. And I still don't see it out there today. Maybe there's still an opportunity for it to resurface. Who knows? But that was pretty neat. That was an awesome experience in itself.
That does sound pretty cool. So you mentioned you're always on the lookout for good educators and also for students.
Yeah.
So what sort of type would fit as a good quality educator for BrainStation?
Yeah. We have, depending on our five offerings at the moment, if we find an educator that fits one of those, there's somebody that is kind of a thought leader in the space. They don't have to be from a big company. They could even be just someone that's a contractor, solo independent. As long as they're just doing really amazing kind of work and they show that they're passionate about their skill set that they are fine-tuning, we want to have them come and share that passion with the classroom.
So you said five key areas. What are the five areas so far, or the five offerings?
Yeah. Right now, every Monday night, we have digital marketing. That course itself is actually kind of unique and has the biggest roster of educators, and we're always looking to add to it as well. Tuesdays, we have product management, and in the spring, we have visual design. Wednesdays, we have our user experience design. and Thursday's Intro to Web.
So you guys actually have part-time courses too, right?
Yeah, they're all part-time in the evening. We do have weekend kind of workshops turning on right now this month. Next Saturday, actually, is a UX Fundamentals all-day Saturday course.
Well, and you guys always have events and meetups there. There's a Hackerness there at one point, which is really cool.
Yes.
I actually went to a meetup about or a presentation from Loki from Mobify.
Yep.
He did the product manager meetup, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's always always great to go there and check stuff out.
We actually met each other at BrainStation.
Oh yeah, that was the same Hackerness meetup. Yeah, that's cool. Way.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Okay, so let's take a little bit of a look back at you and your motivation for wanting to get involved in a bootcamp. So you went out there, you saw, you know, this iOS stuff help you build your app is pretty cool. What else attracted you to BrainStation, and why did you think that was the place that you wanted to be?
So I guess going back to how I was talking about when I was looking at talking with Tam and looking at, I wanted to learn digital or technical skills, but I wasn't really sure exactly. And so far to date, my background's always been kind of business management, administration, nothing really technical. I've been around lots of technical people, but couldn't really speak the same language. And so I didn't want to dive full into the deep end and become a technical person per se. And BrainStation came along, and it's more the front end. And there's still, not to take away from the technical side of that, but it's more business within the technical realm. So product management, yes, you're going from ideation all the way through the life cycle of a product, and you're overseeing that. Loki is actually the lead educator for that class. He's great. And so it was these new types of skill sets that really drew my interest. So yeah, it was the app idea. I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, I'd love to learn how to put together Flappy Bird and and whatever it may be. And so that to me is what really drew my attention. And, it's always awesome meeting other people that share that same kind of motivation.
Mm-hmm. So some of the other, locations have full-time, offerings. I've seen, I think, Node.js based bootcamp as well. Is there anything like that in the works for the Vancouver one?
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Definitely. In Toronto they do. I know that we're throwing our first workshop in New York this week or next week. I'm not entirely sure on the dates, but yeah, and I know that they have plans to turn on fully immersive courses in New York and in Vancouver. I'm sure we'll probably be doing the same eventually. Toronto has an amazing campus that they just launched. Mm-hmm. It has Quantum Coffee, which is also owned by the Conrad Group in the front. Big event space. They want to put like a whiskey bar kind of bistro in the back, which would be awesome. And then they have three floors of classrooms, and there's lounges and kitchens and breakout rooms. And we want to kind of replicate that here. And so once we actually do that, then we'll probably turn on immersive.
Do you have any stories from outstanding graduates that have gone on to do crazy things that you've heard back from?
Yeah, I mean, I've only been here in this position in BrainStation in Vancouver for the last 6 months.
Okay.
So it's still all pretty fresh and new and happening. But yeah, there's one student, he came in and took two courses, our UX and Intro to Web. And he's been doing some pretty neat things and moving forward. I'm drawing a little bit of a blank right now on what it is, but he's done some pretty cool stuff. Whereas actually, we saw another student that just got picked up by Lululemon, and she's
nice.
Really excited. And so I haven't seen her work that she's produced yet for them, but I'm sure she's going to do some pretty amazing things. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that does sound pretty cool. So with I guess currently we have four boot camps locally. And we've been trying to get people from each of them to come out and give a little bit of an overview about what they do and who's behind them. But one thing that I think especially people looking into boot camps are wondering is, are there really enough jobs to sustain these boot camps? And people going through them, coming out, are they really satisfying that need for skilled developers, front-end, back-end, marketing, whatever? Are they going to have jobs coming out of that?
Yeah, I think if talking or focusing on BrainStation for the answer, if they came to BrainStation with no kind of digital skills or experience, or haven't been a part of a startup or a tech company, and they've come with the expectation, I'm going to take this one course and then be hired full-time somewhere. I'm going to come do your digital marketing course, and I'm going to be a full-time digital marketer at the end, working for some of the big companies around town or a startup. That expectation might, I think you won't see the result that they're looking for. For bridging the gap, definitely. There's tons of people that do have some knowledge and some skills, and right now they're currently in internships or coordinator roles, and we're definitely helping them grow their skill set to then take it from there. And it's still only 6 months in, but we're definitely seeing them starting to get into the positions and into the careers that they're going to. So yeah, I do see it slowly bridging the gap. We're starting to make that, or close the gap eventually here. So
when I went to the product management, I was sitting beside a lady who was actually already working at a startup, and she wanted to move into their product team. And so one of the things that she was doing was taking the part-time course at night so she could expand those skills, which isn't always available if there's only offerings of full-time. So for her, it was the next level of training, not the initial level of training.
Yeah. Yeah. And we see a lot of that, and it's great. I mean, we do an exercise at the beginning of every class asking people what are their goals and what they plan to achieve at the end of it. And a lot of people, they hit their goals, which is pretty awesome to see. And we're still following up with them, and we're still pretty new, but it's awesome to see that, at the workshop, the lady that you met, is a perfect example of some of the students that we see come through, and then they are getting that promotion and moving forward.
So I see with BrainStation, as you said, it's only been in Vancouver, I guess, about 6 months. I think I went by last June or July, something like that, before things were even set up and saw the space. Yeah. And it's really come a long way, I think, since then. But there's a lot of events open to the community, and I guess a lot of community building. What do we see as the plan for BrainStation for 2016?
Well, we'll definitely still have lots of community events. Those are great. I love those. Those are kind of my favorite. One of the ones that, for instance, on Thursday this week, we had Sean Clark from Shoes.com come in for our speaker series. And we have our speaker series every Thursday night. That was an awesome talk.
What was that about?
It was just about his story, talking through how he started Shoes.com, how he came up with the idea, how he went and sold his first shoes, how he basically got into e-commerce without knowing anything about it, how the guys at Shopify became to know him really well because he was on the phone with them every single day saying, how do I do this? How do I change the variants? Like, what's going on here? To now being obviously Shoes.com, very successful. So those kind of talks, love them. And then we also do really awesome kind of community events at the end of each month. And at the end of this month, we have one. It's the 5x5 photography show. And so we always feature an artist. We have them featured in our space for the whole month. But it's going to be five different photographers coming in, displaying five pieces of artwork each. And they'll do like a little mini panel. We always like to have some kind of educational talk with everything we do, and then there's a little bit of a social.
Can we talk a little bit about the BrainStation Academy?
Yeah.
So how does that work? It's sort of like a classroom sort of style for many youth to come and check out the programs?
Definitely. Yeah. It's we saw last year, I believe it was over, I can't actually remember the number, but we saw a big turnout, and I think in Vancouver alone, we had about 40 high school students come out, and it was for every Saturday, Sunday for the month of August. And we taught them the basics of HTML, CSS, and into JavaScript.
Nice. How did that go?
It was great. Yeah. The instructors, the feedback from them and from the students was amazing. And I know that we'll probably be doing Academy again this summer.
That sounds really cool. So I've had a little bit of experience. One of the guys that I work with brought his daughter in a couple of times, and we pulled out Code Combat. I don't know if you've seen that, but and now she's just like crazy about JavaScript and doing really well and teaching me some things. And she's 9 years old.
That's awesome. Put your semicolons here.
Yeah.
Use spaces, not tabs.
So I thought that was really great. And I think some of the tools that we're getting to teach software and to engage with children or adults or anyone but just to actually learn software in a fun, engaging manner are amazing. Do you see what sort of tools have you been using to teach the HTML and CSS, JavaScript?
Yeah, there's lots of tools out there, and mm-hmm. they're constantly changing. The instructors, they kind of, you know, they'll showcase some of them. Mm-hmm. For the most part, though, we're keeping it very basic and simple because a mm-hmm. lot of them haven't seen HTML or CSS before.
Right.
So
can be a lot to take in.
And then, you know, we're throwing different applications at them to say, hey, here's a good way to learn.
Yeah.
The instructors, they kind of balance it out. They know what works well for them or what they have experience with. Mm-hmm. And so they'll show those tools or those resources to them and create different challenges. The nice thing is that it's not all the classroom's really not lecture-based. For the most part, we have a portal. So the students, and if they're an academy or in our part-time courses, they can read everything beforehand. And then when they get there, it's just hands-on. And the instructor will go around and they'll be doing different challenges and whatnot. So it's very interactive that way. And then during the week, they'll be given different challenges.
So we mentioned CodeCore a couple times, but when Tam was here talking, he mentioned that one of the big milestones that they passed recently was getting the school certified as a school. Mm-hmm. So now students can get loans and they can sort of, you know, use the incentives for traditional quote unquote training or education. Is BrainStation looking for that status as well?
Yeah. We're currently working with PCTIA to meet those requirements. We did just... we're not going to be, it's a long process, mm-hmm. as I'm sure Tam could tell you.
Yeah.
But we did just get approved so that you can claim your taxes and taking or signing up with our tuition in our school.
Awesome. Yeah. Great, Kyle. Well, thanks a lot. Did you have anything you wanted to plug before we wrap up?
Come visit us. We have Tuesdays, there's always lunch and learns. Thursdays is our speaker series. We do have our weekend events and workshops that are being turned on right now. We have quite a few in March. So if you can't make it out in the evenings, otherwise our part-time course is Digital Marketing Monday, Product Management, Visual Design Tuesdays, UX Design on Wednesdays, and Intro to Web Development on Thursdays.
And for people who are interested in coming out and being an educator or potentially being a student, what's the best method to contact?
Shoot me an email. It's ktrelevin@brainstation.io.
We'll have the link as well.
Yeah. Please do, because that's a tricky name to spell.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just come down and visit me in the space. We're located in Yale Town. It's 1110 Hamilton Street. On the fourth floor.
And, I also noticed...
we always love to have visitors. So come by and say hello.
I also noticed you have a ton of job posts on your site. So did you want to just speak shortly about the job posts? I saw there's tons for Conrad Group and then BrainStation itself.
Yeah. Those are obviously not all in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So if you are in Toronto or in some of our other locations, definitely, you know, if you're interested, shoot an email, apply. But here in Vancouver, we're always looking for evening event facilitators. We're looking for a marketing and event planning intern.
Awesome. Well, Kyle, thank you very much for being on the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great.
Thanks for listening to another episode of
VancouverTechPodcast.ca. That's our site. You can actually email us too at show@VancouverTechPodcast.ca.
Or find us in the YVR Dev Slack. I'm at Drew.
I'm at James.
We're almost always online.
You can actually get an invite to YVR Dev Slack if you haven't got one already at yvrdev.herokuapp.com.
See you there.
Bye.